BMW from Fort Worth. What he didn't say is what's going to get you. Don't have to be that good, for God's sake. Could have made up something. I may make up a few things about him. Grateful I'm paranoid. They'll never know. I like to be paranoid. I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. I wouldn't give up manic depressive either, but they catch that. Schizophrenic. Don't you? I wouldn't give anything in the world to be any other way than the way I am. Because there's no way they're going to catch us. I love to be the way I am because I can be so many different ways with nothing happening. Now, I wonder what happened to him. Nothing. Well, he was fine before he went to the bathroom. He said, that's it. He went to the bathroom. Tell him to figure us out, for God's sake. I even pay him money to tell me things I already know. And disagree with them. I'd like to thank Bill McKay. Called him McGee for a while, and he didn't seem to like that, so I changed it to McKay. Bill, I do appreciate you having me. Sorry you couldn't adjust the weather any better, but I know now you had all these Catholics down here. I do appreciate you, even though you said didn't tell the truth. I do appreciate that. You're picking me up at the airport. It's your trip back now. I'll take care of that. And Carl was here with his crew in Dolores. They have a crew that goes everywhere. And they keep everybody straight. And he got a hold of me. And I don't know why, because he heard I was getting a divorce. And God, one girl came up and she was pickled. He said, God, it's good to see you. Never saw her again. I've got one, though. I don't know if I'm going to tell you about it or not. Last time I told it, they ruined it. Good to see Jim Hawkins and Yucky. Hadn't been with them a while. Old Carl's bunch. And then I've got me a new girlfriend, Elena from Lake Charles. Don't say anybody, because her mother and dad's here. So. Just a secret deal we got going. You know what we did? I'll never tell you. Got him, haven't we, baby? Well, we really had everything Friday night. You know, we could have skipped the Catholics. Old Julian told us what to do. Don't do nothing. And then you'll have two worries twice a year. Worrying about taking that trip to Florida and the other one back to Virginia. And then enjoy the rest of it. I wouldn't live like that for nothing in the world. Can you imagine having a good day all day? Night two? Good to be with one of my sweethearts, Neva. I hadn't seen her in a long, long time. He helped break me in Houston. Did I say that right? Now, I don't know what's going to happen today. I'll tell you that. And then, of course, the Catholics took over. But one of them, you could call her anything. You know, after you didn't call her sister, you can just call her anything you want to. Was it June Louise at the last, or what was the last name she She's a light even if she was from California. And I don't know where you ought to even mention that other Catholic. Did you hear that last night? I was really concerned. I went home and prayed because I figured, well, he sent God to be his oral. I'll be up here all by myself. I don't know why he came. He's recovered. Girl says, my God, is that really true? I said, hell, I don't know. He's Catholic. Said, but there is a line in the book on 85. Don't read it. But it says we're never cured of alcoholism. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I feel better. And I said, yeah. Be hell to get cured, nothing to do. And I don't have the mind to be a priest. I'm not old enough yet. But I'm working on it. Well, let's see. We better get started here. What time is it? Might as well screw it up. It's been a good conference up to now, but alcoholics always stay too long. We've never failed. We did what we're supposed to do. We screwed it up before we left. So they know that we should never come back. That's the reason we never got invited to a lot of places. But we never had to go back to a lot of places either. And after I went back, some of them sober, I'm glad I didn't get to go back, some of them. I found some of those people wasn't as great as I thought they were either. So they didn't love me like they should. The reason I hate this conference over, you go to the airport and buy something, they just say thank you. But you don't know who we are. Supposed to hug us and kiss us and take us home with you and tell us divorce your husband. I am Jim Williams and I'm an alcoholic. I'm really not supposed to be an alcoholic. I'm supposed to be a Southern Baptist. You know, we're the ones that pray for the Catholics. They drink, you know. I was raised in Texas. We have dry counties where they don't believe in anything. They have a hard time having children. You have to get close to women, you know, and they don't like that. That's the reason they don't let you dance. And we was raised in that little dry county where they didn't sell it and believe in it, didn't do it. I didn't think they did it. And then I was raised in that little old church and had a guy stand up here like me, says, if you think it, you might as well have done it. Well, I was thinking it. I didn't know what it was. But I knew I must be thinking it because they'd point at you. We're going to sing that last stanza for that one right back there. Scare you a little to death. And they got you guilty you're even guilty of going to the bathroom. And I got to be about 13, which will happen to you if you do what I was doing one day at a time. And after school one afternoon, I got with this girl and got those funny feelings. And I told them about it. They said, we've been meaning to talk to you. See, I need a hand. You know we've been praying for you. Oh, yeah. It's not like AA, you know. AA said, old Floyd lay in the ditch last night. He lives. We'll get him. And this bunch, they just hone in on you. This guy said, now meet us before the funeral or service. And I met him before the service. He says, what you need to do, you need to get saved. I didn't know what from. Hadn't done nothing. So they sang that last stanza for that one right back there. And I came down the aisle. It's kind of like A, except don't give out any chips. They hug you and kiss you and tell you how great you are. You know you're not, but I like it. They throw you in the tank. Handkerchief leaks. You choke a little. But you come out all right. Went to school the next day and saw that girl. Came right back. I said, well, I guess we're going to have to do it again. Didn't take. They said, no, you just don't do it. Well, they didn't know. I didn't know how to don't do it. I didn't know I didn't know how to don't do it. I didn't know if they could just say, don't do that. They didn't do it anymore. I said, how do you don't do it? Don't think about it. I said, I wonder why I didn't think about that. I thought, well, it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll go ahead and think about it the rest of the day. Then when I get up tomorrow, I'll never think about it again. Got up the next day and thought about it more than I ever thought about it before. I had no idea that I'm the kind of guy when I start not to think about it or not to do something, I'm going to do it all the time. I used to try to wake up real quick before I thought about it. My folks would always say things, Jimmy would never want to do that. Yeah, I did too. Already done it once. Get ready to do it again. Jimmy wants to do that. No, I didn't either. Already knew. Everybody knew what I wanted to do. That wasn't it. What I didn't, wouldn't be caught dead doing is what I was already getting ready to do. Finally got out of high school. Had a hard time getting out of high school. I don't think I'm so dumb. I was just busy. You know, a lot of people are not tied up like we are doing nothing. A lot of people get tied up doing things. We get tied up most of the time not doing anything. You know, this guy said, I spoke to you yesterday. He was just sitting in the car. I said, I was busy. He said, there wasn't anybody with you. I said, I was having a meeting. He says, but you were alone. I said, no, I wasn't. There's a bunch of us there. They don't understand depression. Civilians do not understand depression. They said, why didn't you get out of the chair? I said, I couldn't get out of the chair. They said, get out of the chair. I said, I can't get out of the chair. Why didn't you go to work? I couldn't get out of the chair. God, they don't understand English. I couldn't get out of the damn chair. I'd have gone to work, but I couldn't get out of the chair. Yeah, tell them 10 times before they catch me. Then they walk off from me and said, he couldn't get out of the chair. Went over there, 30 miles away was a town in Wilder Wicket, and this guy and I slipped over there one Saturday afternoon and opened the door of that honky-tonk. My God, there was that deacon that I'd known in that Baptist church with a cold beer in one hand and a warm girl in the other. And I said, my God, let's get out of here. He'll tell Jesus on us. And we didn't even get to do it. You know, if you get caught before you do it, you ought to just forget it. That guy said, well, he can't tell on us. I said, man, he's got a better shot with Jesus than I do. And also, he was happier than I'd ever seen him. I saw him on Sunday mornings, and I thought deacons were just sad. And I like the girl he's with on Saturday night a lot better than the one he's with on Sunday morning. We had 2 beers, didn't taste good, didn't feel good, and I was glad to get out of there. God, the next Sunday morning, I wanted to go to church first. I said, maybe you get old enough, you don't have to go. There he was, sad like he always was. Now I know he wasn't sad. Hell, he's just tired. Then I had my first spiritual awakening. Maybe you can do it a little bit and just don't tell anybody. So I told my buddy, I said, next Saturday, that's before you knew you could do anything during the week. Next Saturday, we'll go back. This big town had 2 joints. We'll go to the other joint. Went to the other joint, didn't see a deacon I knew. Learned how to do everything but commit adultery. I'd have done that too, but I didn't know enough about it. And you know how we are. Think about it all day long, drink a beer, forget it. Then if we do, we don't know where we did or not. And you can't call back and say, we do anything like that? But I'd have. Everything's been wonderful. I learned how to drink. I didn't know I knew how. You just drink one beer right after the other. You get feeling so good you can't feel at all. Learned how to dance. Bad just not allowed to dance. Fell on down on the dance floor. Broke my nose. Did it 5 times after I learned how to do it. Blacked out. Just beautifully. Waked up the next morning. Threw up just like I've been doing it for years. This guy called. Said, how do you feel? I said, God, I feel horrible. He said, oh, but you had a great time. I said, oh, well. Then I knew how to have a good time. Just go out and get drunk, black out, wake up the next morning, throw up. Then you know you had a good time. Never did know you drank it any other way. I couldn't mention putting bourbon in milk. For God's sake, ruin the damn milk. And I looked to see what it'd do. I never drank it that way. I always drank it. And I thought people who didn't drink like I drank, didn't drink. I thought people who messed with it just didn't drink. I thought people who drank like I drank. I was over at this town one afternoon by myself, putting off getting drunk as long as I could, and I was walking by the post office. There's a sign out there that said, "We need you." And I walked in there, and they did. And this guy said, "You like to go to California?" I said, "Yeah." "You ever been?" I said, "No, I haven't been 30 miles away from home." He said, "We're leaving tomorrow." Oh, my God. I filled that thing out, ran home, told my folks I'm going to California. They look funny. But my folks have always looked funny. They've got a new deal going on now. You know, these people, 65 years old, found out they have parents. They have a meeting going on now. Parents. You have parents. I didn't know. God, I've got trying to get in, but I can't because my parents weren't drunk. So anyway, well, I'd have helped them get drunk if they'd have listened to me. So this guy, I came back the next day to the service, and this guy says, "We're going to San Antonio." I said, "I thought yesterday he was going to California." He said, "Oh, we live one day at a time, boy." I should have caught on that to the deal. And then we went to San Antonio, and it's a funny bunch. They got up in the middle of the night, and they make their bed real quick. Nobody's coming, but they thought they were. Nobody ever did. And then we run down to eat right quick. My God, if you're not even drunk the night before, you get sick eating that time of night. And they were always scared because they walked in groups. And whoever was going to run our deal decided that we ought to go on a secret trip. But we couldn't tell anybody, and they couldn't even tell us. And we end up, whoever decided for us decided we need to go to China. I'm in the Air Force, so we go to China by boat. I think they flew the Navy over, and the Marines ran the boat. There's a lot of Chinese over there. They have a few trees and a couple of hills and a few things, but they really don't have anything but Chinese. They mostly just have Chinese. They don't have any smog problem or anything. They just, the only industry they've got is just making Chinese. They like it and they're good at it and they just make Chinese. Hell, they got a little rice, not enough, but they've got lots of Chinese. They lose some, but they're making so many that, hell, it just doesn't make any difference. They've got a good industry going. They're not going to change it. Well, if you're over there about 3 weeks, you've seen all the Chinese you'll ever need to see the rest of your life. And I told them I was ready to come home, and we stayed 2 years. Then we came back by boat. And my folks said, "Where are you going to school?" I said, "God, I'm not going to school. Couldn't get out of school and went to school. Hate school. Not going to school." If you don't have that piece of paper, you will not even be able to apply for a job, let alone get one. You're going to have that piece of paper. I went to that school and I gutted myself through that college and straight through summer and all, and I didn't learn one single thing. I made sure that every course I took, I was going to pass it up front, and that it didn't benefit a human being whatsoever. You know what I like about you and I? We'll go to any length, even if it just destroys us, just to be right. A lot of people won't do that. A lot of people just say, "Well, I could be wrong about that." Not you and I. Only time we'll ever make that statement is when we're damn sure we are right. Then we might say, "Well, I could be wrong about that." Having some minor difficulties with women. If you put 10 pretty girls up there, I'll get the sick one every time. I don't know where I learned how to do that. I'd see some guys, they just go with any girl. Hell, you can't just go with any girl. We got to change girls every week. God, you've got to find a pretty girl, one that's precious and sweet, one that you can take home and be in love with, for God's sakes. You can't just go with any girl. Take me about 2 months to find that sweet, precious, sick little thing. Then in about 2 months, we'd be so much in love, I'd almost have to quit work. Then they'd just deteriorate from there on out. When I got to A, I said, "This is the most fantastic place I've ever been in my life. This is the first time I've ever been where they had the sick women grouped." And I like both kinds. I like the ones that got sick doing it, and I like the ones that got sick watching him do it. Well, I don't know why God seemed to feel like we were the ones that knew how businesses should operate and assigned us to make sure that they do it properly. And where I worked, I always worked at it hard, and I was diligent with it, and I told them every day what was wrong, how they're supposed to pay me and treat me. And for some reason, every place I worked always wanted me to come to work on Mondays. And Mondays were bad days for me. You could have the flu on Thursday, but never on Monday. Took me a long time to find out that I was the only one that was always leaving. Some of those businesses that fired me are still operating doing it wrong. Which means probably most of us are too smart to be in business. Finally, I got out of a job and I couldn't get one. The way I'd look for a job is I'd get up every morning, I'd throw up and spray. Then I'd go fill out one of those forms that ask you personal questions like, where have you worked the last 10 years? That's none of their business. They won't know where you live, and I like to move around. And then the rest of the questions you've got to figure out, I wonder what they'd like for me to say. You don't know them too well, you know. God, it takes an hour and a half to fill it out. Then the interview's 10 minutes, and you're gone. I did this, and finally I saved this one place that I knew I'd get the job. I knew a guy was there, and I knew they had the opening. I knew they were looking for somebody. And I walked in. The moment I walked in, he said, you don't want this job. I said, yeah, I want the job. Hell, I'm broke, and I need a job. I've been looking for a job. I said, I saved this job. Because I knew I'd be able to be working with you. And he said, you don't want this job. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Didn't get it. Also knew that it was going to be more comfortable when I left. Also knew there's something about me he would like to tell me, but he didn't know how to do it. Well, I went out and got drunk, waked up the next morning. I said, you know, I've been doing this for about 10 days. I think I'll just take the day off. So I went out the golf course and ate an old egg, an old piece of toast. Went around to my beer joint where my last spiritual advisor worked. And he said, my God, man, you look horrible this morning. I said, yeah, I think I'm coming down with something. He said, my God, the way you're shaking, drink this beer. I said, oh, I never drink before noon. That's 10:30 for Baptist. He said, God, man, drink the beer. I drank half of it and sprayed the golf course with it. I don't mind spraying if you don't lose your concentration. Start thinking about women or something, you know, and it gets your nose, burns. Then you've got to drink the rest of the day just to kill the pain. And I already knew how to meditate before I got here. It's when it's just me, God, and the commode. And you say, oh, God, and it's stringing. And you don't know where the end is. And you can't breathe to get it back. So you don't know whether you're coming or going. You know, it's amazing. After you meditate that deeply, it's tiring. And when you lean over there, that bowl's always just as cool. I told that guy, I said, I think I better go home and lie down. I didn't get to use the vibrators in the motels for 2 years after I was sober because I could vibrate all by myself. And I left to run around with me. I left to have meetings with me. I was supposed to call all the hospitals. And I'd get in that car every morning and I'd make that old drive. I said, God, I hate to go to that big old hospital. You have to get that. Can't find a parking place. When you do, you got to take that kid and go through the lobby and wind down through the basement, go to that purchasing agent, and you know him. Not going to buy anything anyway. See, you don't even have to park. Just drive right on by. Wait till 10:30, go to the beer joint, have another bad day. Yeah, I didn't buy anything again today. So I went home, and I got in the living room, and I had a meeting with me. And I decided that since I'd commit suicide, and those guys that didn't hire me would worry about it for the rest of their day. I was living in Houston then. I said, they'll see in the Houston Chronicle Jimmy Williams commit suicide and they'll never get over it. But I didn't know how to do it. Now, you don't have to know anything. I was watching television the other day. Suicide, call that number. I said, now that I don't need them, they've probably got pamphlets on it. Had a group one down south there, you know. Jones had a group suicide after I didn't need it. And I didn't like guns because I don't like noise of morning. Besides, there's splatter all over everything. Razor blade. This was even before overdose. Overdose, you're just going to remember the bump. We believe, the old boys here believe, in sound and mind and body when you commit suicide. Razor blades were popular then, but they didn't tell you how to do it. Cut his wrist with a razor blade. Didn't say what kind of razor blade. Didn't say where you cut it. Left wrist, right wrist, where you do it. Slice it. Didn't do anything. Just cut his wrist with a razor blade. I knew you couldn't do it in the living room. You get blood all over the carpet. I'm always thinking of others. So I went to the bathroom, got my razor blade, sat down on the throne. I had since death, even though I'd never done it before. Don't just cut the left wrist. Left side died. Right side would be alive. What if you backed out? Half dead, half dead. So I cut both wrists so I could bleed and die evenly. No, we're not dumb. And I'm sitting there listening to the drip, thinking about those guys going to worry about it for the rest of their days. Then the phone rang. Then I thought, what if where I'm going, I'll always wonder who that was calling. That'd be enough to run you crazy. So I put a band-aid on my wrist right quick. Answered the phone. It was the police. You know, police, I've never talked to a policeman yet, didn't have personality change. They've been taught by ministers or something, you know. Because they'll say, stop you about 3 o'clock in the morning when you're going home. Come go along with me. I say, I can't go. I'm late now. I'm supposed to be home at 7. And they say, get in the car. And I say, I'm not going. Then they really go nuts. You have to pacify them and go along with them. Guy says, where were you last night? I said, I was right here. And he said, no, you weren't. I said, how do you know? And he said, we was there. Then I didn't want to talk to him anymore. I'd already learned don't ever talk to anybody no more about where you've been than you do. I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, you need to come down here. We'll come out there and get you. I said, I'll be right there. And he said, if I was you, I'd pick up an attorney on the way. I said, that'll take me an extra 30 minutes. But wait for me. I'm coming. God, I love to live with me. I can live a week and a half a day. I've had a hell of a day. I've had 2 big meetings, been out to the golf course, threw up, committed suicide, and talked to the police. It's only 11 o'clock. Well, during the course of the meeting, we decided that we'd been in Houston long enough. And that I didn't like either one of those options. I didn't want to stay there. I didn't want to go down there. So I thought, well, why don't we just leave? I thought, that's a good idea. Well, we did. We just piled a quilt and blanket. And I didn't have a lot of furniture. Just room in there for me. And had one piece of furniture, a lamp. And I put it on top. I guess I was going to carry the light so I could burn the plug. Got me a pint of whiskey and mailed the keys to folks. Owned the place. And took out of Houston and at $36, which then was plenty to start a new career. Waked up the next morning about 200 miles away in a little old town named Brownwood and had $7. So I wonder how my folks are getting along. So I call them collect so they'd know it's me. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just out riding around. Well, why don't you come by and have a cup of coffee? So I believe we'll. So I drove by to Fort Worth. And I never shortchanged my folks. I always gave them my very finest story. In fact, it was so horrible, hell, I cried with them. In fact, I thought, God, if I'd known it was that bad, I'd have left Houston 3 years early. Old John says, well, Jimmy's honest. Let him have 100. Oh. With 107, you can almost go into business. So I knew I had to sweat that night out, and I sweated out and got up the next morning and said, well, Aunt Lee, there's one little thing I left out. While I was going through all that trouble down there in Houston, I was drinking some. But I have now decided that I shall never drink again as long as I live, and I'm never going to be underfinanced again. You're never going to have to worry about me again. My folks look at me just like a blank. When I got an A, I went back up there. I said, do you remember that time? She said, which one? She said, well, I think I remember. She said, I turned around, John, you drove off, and said, what do you think? He says, he's 33. He'll never live till he's 35. Well, I didn't have any place to go. It wasn't any use going the way I was going because I didn't know where I was going when I was going the way I was going. So I decided I knew a guy that I'd help get a job down the Rio Grande Valley. I think I'll go down there and see him. No use calling. He'll tell you not to come, you know. And it's just right down there. Well, it was, but it was about 10 hours. Drove right out of Fort Worth, stopped at the filling station, fill up. And I said, how far is Waco? 79 miles. This happened to sell beer. So let me have three. So I went into Harlingen and got that good downtown hotel. You didn't take your clothes in because you couldn't be sleeping one day at a time. So I'd come down every morning through the elevator, through the lobby, go get my shorts, socks, shirt, go back up, take a shower. Goes to cars across the street, did it every morning for 3 weeks, and they finally hired me. Now, they hire you because that's the end down there. People go down there snow dodging and stuff like that, but they don't go down there looking for jobs. So if you're breathing fairly well, they'll hire you. And I did the same thing there that I've had to do two or three different places. There's always somebody in my place that they need to get rid of me. And if you explain that to them on a daily basis, sometimes they do that. They did that there. I got up into my place. That's the inn, you know, down there. They have a little creek, change countries, change language and everything. So if you want to get to the bottom, that's a good place to get there early. And so for some reason, when I'd get a job, I could just get drunk and not drunk, and I'd work 7 days a week till I could get up into my place. And then when I'm in my place, I settle down, I'm okay. And it so happened that I was too tired one afternoon to go get drunk, and I had to go rest a minute. And when I did, I had a knock on the door, and it was the manager. And he said, you know, you've been here almost 8 months. We need to get better acquainted. And I said, yeah. He said, let's go have a beer. And I said, oh, one. He was a drunk, just like me. And I lasted there 8 years until he got fired, me and another drunk. He had two drunks working for him. I'm still trying to get married. I've been trying since I was five. And I figured out what's wrong with me. You know, when you're walking around and your romance has gone to pot and you're walking around alone by yourself in love with no girl, it's awkward. So I figured out the mistake I've been making just being trying to be true to one girl is what you need to do is to have a number one and a spare. And I left the court drinking. You know, you call them about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Pick you up about 7:30. Might be 4 or 5 days before you get by there. You don't have to get too well acquainted. So then, my weekends were like, I'd get off work at noon on Saturdays, and I'd jump in a car and run to the golf course and have a heavy lunch like a 6-packet of cheese cracker. And then I'd get drunk, blackout by 6:30, 6:45, in bed, up 10:45, 11 o'clock, back to my joint. We're living in the valley now, see. Living in my joint to get it up in my joint, and just as soon as 1 o'clock comes, they close up. Just get in the car with your close friends that you've met that night and go on over to Madame Morris and stay light, maybe eat breakfast at the Texas Bar and throw it up, or just skip breakfast. Come on in and drink a little beer and taper off into Monday, and sometimes you make it, sometimes you miss it. But this particular Friday, I was off Saturday, traded off with a guy. And I'm up at 11 o'clock at number one's house. And for some reason, I never mentioned number two. And you know, sometimes we're just too honest. And I just mentioned that I thought I might drive by to see her on the way, and she hadn't heard about her. And I just neglected, I guess, to tell her. And so I said, but I got to go to the bathroom first, and she followed me in there. Well, that's the wrong place to have a meeting. That's the reason. Now, you notice they're putting carpet in there? Because they're having meetings in bathrooms, and the surfaces in bathrooms are very, very hard. If you have meetings, you ought to have them out in the living room where you got carpet and couches, or a bedroom where you got beds and carpet. Don't have it in the damn bathroom. Bathtubs are hard. Commodes are hard. Lavatories are, everything in there is hard. I don't remember what happened. I'm living in a beautiful place, an old faded green trailer behind a motel in an alley. I had the rock yards a long time before I started putting them in. I'd see those old weeds coming up there, and I said, you'll never make it. And I'm laying there asleep in my own bed like I'm supposed to be, and something goes, God, jumps out. I've already learned how to wake up in total fright in my own bed. And I jumped by there and looked down. I still had my clothes on. I said, God, I bet I'm going somewhere early this morning. Look down. Had some blood on that old white shirt. Blood makes me sick, you know. And my God, my head. God, I had knots. Oh, my God, that little blood. Oh, my God, I've had a car wreck. I wrecked my car. I wrecked my car. That's the police. I wrecked my car. Beating on the door. And I opened the door, and there stands that 6'4", 240-pound Baptist preacher saying, "Come go along with me." And I said, "Preacher, I know I look like I'm ready, but wherever the meeting is, I'm not ready. I can't go. I just cannot go. I cannot make it. I know I look like I'm dressed for it, but I'm not dressed for it. I cannot go." He said, "Get in the car." I said, "God, I got in the car, and I'm in total fright." And I said, "Preacher, I'm going to have a beer. I can't breathe. I cannot breathe. I'm going to have a beer. There'll be no drinking before the meeting. God, I can't make it." I said, "I'm not going to make it. I will not make it, preacher. I will not make it." We drove up in front of her house, and I'm still not making it. And I assume the meeting's going to be there. My head's killing me. My God, it's got 4 or 5 knots on it. Got a little blood. I'm getting sick. And I opened the door. She did look like she might have fallen in a bush or something. And I went in there and looked in that mirror, and I'm going to tell you something. She won. I'll probably never know exactly what happened, but the only thing that I know happened, probably I lost my equilibrium, fell in that bathtub, and she stepped on me. 2 weeks later, we got married. We got married at the Baptist church, so it'll work. Got married at 10 o'clock in the morning before I started drinking at 10:30, so we wouldn't have any drinking before the funeral ceremony. I told her that since she had been married before and I was pure, that there was no need in our inviting a lot of people, but she could invite 2 or 3 of her close friends. Then I'm off again on the weekend, and I'm up at 11 o'clock, blacking out, so I start calling my people till 3 in the morning. My beer distributor friend came out of that church and met me. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. You called me at 3:15 this morning. I'm going to tell you something. We're not here to see y'all get married. We're here because we don't believe it. And the longest bet on your marriage is 3 weeks. But I showed them. I hung it in there for 8 years. But my life changed. I had no idea how nice it was to get up and throw up in peace. I was always going to quit smoking because it made me gag in the morning. So I'd grab those cigarettes and that coffee and go in that bathroom door, and she's telling me what I am through that door. I've got to get upset, go make the living. Go out and get drunk, come on, tell her what she was. We did that one day at a time. I went back to that preacher and I said, "Preacher, this thing is not working." He said, "You know what's wrong with you? You're missing the beauty of life." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know the fruit trees were in bloom?" I said, "No." He said, "What you need to do is go get your wife and drive up the valley. Smell the aroma. Look at the blossoms." I said, "Yeah." Jumped in the car, went home, opened the door, said, "Get in the car!" Said, "What for? We're going to go look at the blossoms." He said, "The blossoms?" I said, "Yeah, we're missing the whole damn thing." Got in the car, and I drove to the hop shop and got a 6-pack of beer, drove up the valley, said 14 miles to Batamars, turned left, went to Batamars, switched tequila, blacked out, missed the whole damn thing. Lost that job. Went crazy for about 2 months, and finally a guy I'd been drunk with many times hired me, who was manager of a drug company. Took him 6 weeks to ship me to Fort Stockton, Texas. That's west Texas. He said he sent me out there to run the drug business. He sent me out there because nobody else would go. And if you haven't been to Fort Stockton, there's 536 people live there. 36 of them were making a living. I joined the 500. Got little trees out there about that high. You can see California on a clear day. I'm supposed to stand in the drugstore and write R-O-M-I-S-T and all that stuff. You can't even spell it, let alone write it when you're moving. And I couldn't keep it moving. And that pharmacist looked at me and he says, "My God, man, you look like you're going to fly apart." I said, "Any minute." And he said, well, take some of these. This was before Valium. I understand Valium, both eyes crossed and you walk straight. This was just Librium, which was nothing, a little two-tone green and black, two-tone green stuff. Nothing, still no bitty thing. I took two of them, nothing happened. I waited 15, 20 seconds. So I took three more. And my knee just went, huh? I said, God, I know how to weave. Now I've got to learn a new stance. So I took Librium daytime, drank beer at night, and he used to tickle me in that pharmacist and say, Jim, I can't do it anymore, I don't guess. Jim, I'm a little short, 10 milligrams. 25 be okay? I said, be fine. They're the same size, you know. If you're taking 10 of one, you take 10 of the other. It works just the same. No big deal. Calms you down some. I like us because we can move no matter what they put in there. Besides, we think better. And I only had one decision to make every night. After the third beer, never before, I'd say, well, am I going home early? Or am I going to close the joint? If I'm going to close the joint, I stayed on beer. I'm going to go home early after the third beer. I got a pint of whiskey, put it on top of that in the living room, and go home like you're supposed to. Blacked out. My ideal time is when I black out right at the door. Sometimes it's a little early, sometimes a little later, but I always made it. I got to where I knew how to do it. I knew how to drink the blackout. And I like blackouts. I've always enjoyed it. I drive good in the blackout. Not too good a drunk driver, but I'm good when I'm blacked out. Never ever had any wrecks when I was blacked out. Lots of wrecks when I was drunk. I miss driving drunk. I was coming home Abilene the other night. Thank God, sitting there, nothing's happening. Stripe stays there over and over and over again. Never moves. Got two taillights. Well, I got three now, that odd one. Thank God they put that on there, something a little different. Used to, you get to drive along, you know, and it's a long trip. Yeah, it kind of burns a little and it dips down. Nobody ever told me, nobody ever told you that close the left eye and strike go boom. Can't be driving on there. Well, I think I'll change things up a little. Got two taillights up there and the stripes run down there. And they, boom, strike goes off light. Got eight taillights. Gives you something to do. Guy hired me back in Houston. Called me and he hadn't seen me in 15 years or he hired me. Well, he didn't hire me. He recommended the other people hired me. He had no reason to hire me. Hunting in Indiana. Company was up there, didn't even know what they did, and they wouldn't tell me, and I wouldn't ask. The president of the company said, we don't know why you're here, and I didn't either, so I sure wasn't going to get into that. And the guy finally hired me, and I said, why are you all looking at me funny? He said, we can't understand why you're here. Boy, I wouldn't touch that one. Well, they sent me back to Houston. I lasted there till the day before Christmas Eve of 1965. My customers never saw me drunk. My wife and I had developed such a sweet, deep hate for one another that we finally spaced because the one that died first won. But we did have to have a two-holer because we weren't that comfortable sleeping in the same area. We thought someone might pull something at the spur of the moment, like a hatchet or something. We were both really strong, but we were gutless. Day before Christmas Eve, these people, these administrators, I played golf with them, and they had some in-laws down. I got a little bit too hospitable, and I blacked out their house and drove from one side of Houston to the other, which is nothing new for me. I'm a blackout driver, and I've driven from one side of Houston many times. Didn't do anything any different that morning the other time. Got up in total fright like I'm supposed to. Looked out there, and my car's back. I've even quit asking it how it got back. Walk around it, no new dents, no new nothing, and call back like I always did. Sure am sorry about last night. I'm not sorry about last night. I don't want them to tell me what the hell I did. They don't have to make amends, you know, and we'll never know. Because they'll never tell you. They just tell you it was okay, Jim. You just got drunk. Drunk was going to be a bad word. I'd hear people say, God, I really like him, except when he's drinking, I can't stand to be around him. And I'd hear all that stuff, and it looked like I was a drunk. They're talking about me being drunk. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not behind the grocery store in the alley. And that's the only one, and I never changed it. And didn't plan on changing it then. So I don't know. I guess heard on the radio. What's the name of God next to us getting ready to have a New Year, Christmas Eve party. And so I picked up the phone and called in a group. Must have heard it on the radio. Looked under Alcoholics Anonymous, called in a group. The girl acted like she was glad I called. I should have known then, had the wrong number. She said somebody would be right out. Well, I waited an hour. Nobody showed up. 10:15, looked in the icebox, had 3 beers. I'll just call them back, tell them I don't need them. About that time, the phone rang, and I picked up the phone. Guy said, be right there, for I could tell him I didn't need him. Hell, he hung up. He came by himself because he used to watch me. His wife managed these apartments. When we moved in, they'd moved to another complex, but he used to watch me going back to 7-Eleven saying, he lives, we'll get him. And I looked out there, and he had a little short deacon-looking guy. You could tell right off he was not my kind of guy. Had a book under his arm, and I said, oh, my God. We're going to read that book and pray. I've not only been baptized, I've been rededicated 10 times. I said, I'll just get rid of it. We didn't read the book. I don't know what he said. I don't know what happened. About that time, old what's-her-name came back in. He said, you want to go with me? Well, I didn't, but it's better than staying with her. Then we got in the car together. We hit that old 6-10 loop. I said, oh, my God, I have gone off with a perfect stranger. He's not my kind of guy. I know I should have taken my car. I know better than that. And I thought, well, I'll give him the test. I'll buy a beer. I don't want a beer. God, I knew it. And I waited about 10 more seconds. Says, I'm going to tell you something. I got bad drunk last night. And I'm in total fright right now. And I've got to have a beer. And I've got to have it right now. And you either let me off on top of this freeway, and I'll walk over there to that Utah, or take me over there. I cannot make it another second. Besides, that's 11:20. He said, can you wait till we get to the club? Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can handle total fright if I've got the light. So the light's out when I can't handle the fright. Drove over kind of a bad neighborhood. I said, God, go up for an old rickety-looking house. I said, hell, is this it? He said, yeah. I thought, well, when I get some money, I'll help these folks. We went in there, and there's a bunch of deacons sitting over there talking about women in the stock market, and I found out later on they didn't know anything about either one. And the old bar was back there. It had an old piece of linoleum, and it had holes in it. And the bartender looked a hell of a lot better than I did. And program of attraction, you know. And he said, mix him up a little milk and honey. I said, my God, what do you put in it? I never drank anything like that in my life. He said, well, you see, you're nervous. I said, hell, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And he said, and besides all that, you're used to sugar in your system from alcohol. And the honey has already been digested. I said, indigestion is not my problem. Hell, if you throw up right, you don't have indigestion. I drank half of it, and it curdled, boom, came right back up. He said, don't worry about it. We have plenty. I thought, hell, I'm going to put on a show for these folks here. One of the smart ones said, walk all you want to. Hell, I don't want to walk at all. They just sat there, got an animal in here today and watch you walking back and forth. Finally, I just kept drinking that sweet, sweet, sick. God, I hadn't had a piece of chocolate pie in 15 years. Got sick, sweet taste. About 4 o'clock, he said, well, I guess I better go home. I said, yeah. He said, let me out a couple blocks before we get to the apartment. I knew I had to go get some bourbon because beer would not cut that sweet taste. He said, don't drink anything. I'm going to pick you up in an hour and a half. I said, what for? He said, we're going to a meeting. I said, where? Right back where we came from. I said, my God, we was there all day. Well, he let me out the apartment. I walk. Here he comes, and back over there we go. It's kind of a funny bunch. There's a few of them kind of hugging and kissing and kind of glad they're there. The rest of them, they didn't look like this too damn happy about it either. Said a little old funny prayer.
Some girl got up and talked 2 or 3 hours. They just laughed. Wasn't damn thing funny. And then some guy got up and talked 3 or 4 hours. They said it was just an hour deal, but I don't think it was. And they'd laugh, and I said, this is a sick bunch of people. These people are in bad shape. I need to keep my mouth shut and get away from them as soon as possible. Then they got up and held hands and said the Lord's Prayer. My God, the Holy Spirit moved in there. Every one of them started talking at the same time. Nobody's listening. I said, I wonder how he did that. They didn't sing any songs, come to the altar, lay any hands, just boom, there it is. I'm going to keep my eyes open tomorrow night and see what he did. Then me and this deacon is standing back there by ourselves. Then I saw the deal. Men and women getting together, holding hands, running up there and jumping those cars. I said, oh. After you hear a little while, they get to go have a little drink, go to those apartments, talk about this damn thing. We went night after night after night. Nobody invited us anywhere. One night, it doesn't rain in Houston, it just falls out. And it was raining. This guy called and said, pick you up in 30 minutes. I said, it's raining. Did you ever go get a drink when it's raining? I'll be ready. Then one night, oh, what's the name, had gone back to the valley to see if we had any friends left. So I pulled down all the shades, turned down all the lights, locked the door, had nothing on but the TV set, that old phone just ring, 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 let it ring. Next morning he called and said, where were you last night? I said, I was right here watching television, enjoyed every damn minute of it, and I may do it again tonight, brother. He said, well, you missed it. I said, what did I miss? He said, I don't know. I said, wasn't you there? He said, yeah, but I only heard what I was supposed to hear. We'll never know what it was you were supposed to hear. My God, you got to go every night, you'll miss it. Went 3 months, got drunk, 3 months, got drunk, 3 months, got drunk, and I sobered up all by myself. And then I had a meeting, and I decided that I'm really not an alcoholic. The only thing that's really ever really been wrong with me is that I'm under finance. And if I can get financed, I can handle the whole thing. But I've learned, first things first, so what I need to do is go back and officially resign and tell them that I thank you very much, but I don't need you anymore. So I went back in the meeting that already started, and evidently one morning about 2:30, he indicated that I had called him, which I doubt very seriously. They'll tell you anything. They've been sober longer than you have, and they learned to lie better already. And before I could resign after the meeting, here he comes. I thought, well, I'll just resign. Thank God he's going to be over here and we get this over with. Then I can go on with my life. And he walked up to me and said, don't you ever call me again. I looked at that guy and said, I'm glad you said that. I never called you in the first place. They called you. And I'm going to tell you something your best friends will not tell you. Nobody likes you here. We don't get invited anywhere, and they don't know me, so it's got to be you. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If I had as bad a personality as you do, I'd go back to drinking. And you don't ever have to worry about my calling you. If you was the last man on earth, I'd never call you again. And I didn't until the next morning. And he said, meet me at the club. I walked in the club and he said, get your coffee and sit down. They talk to you like a dog here, you know. He said, I'm going to tell you something about Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Al-Teen, Al-Cotton, Al-Dolph. There's absolutely no failure here. Will not, cannot, never has, never will. Impossible to fail. Cannot fail. No failure has ever occurred in Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Al-Teen, Al-Cotton, Al-Dolph. Provided you do exactly what we tell you to do, the way we tell you to do it. He said, now there's only one thing that you're going to get to do for the rest of your day. But it's the only thing you're going to get to do. And you're the only one that gets to do it. from now on, beginning now, you're going to make a decision whether you're going to go our way of life or your way of life. If you don't give an alcoholic a decision to make, they'll flounder on the same subject for years. So we're going to give you a decision to make this morning, whether you're going to go our way of life or you are go right back out that door. I said, I don't want to do either one. He said, I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. I just asked you what you were going to do. I said, do you mean tell me you don't care whether I want to or not? He said, not at all. I said, group doesn't care? He said, no. I said, well, you make it perfectly clear to the group that I don't want to do it, then I'll do it. He said, well, first of all, we've got to get some things straight. It's your thinking that's wrong. I said, how much am I thinking wrong? We always start with all of it. And if there's any good, we'll let you know. I said, you put a sign up there on the wall that says, think, think, think. He said, that's for us. He says, now we're going to give you some things not to do and some things to do. The things we're going to give you not to do is going to change. Things we're going to give you to do, you'll just add two. Then it's going to happen over here. I said, what's going to happen over there? We don't know, but it always happens. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've been listening to you and listening to you and listening to you, and you have never listened to me. And I want you to listen to me. I do not understand. He said, and that's it, and don't you ever forget it. Said, there's two things that you're going to remember every day for the rest of your days. As long as you do not understand, you'll have understanding. And when you quit trying to understand, then you'll enjoy it. And the other thing is, no matter what your situation is, it's never the situation, it's never them, it's never her, it's never God, it's you that must become different. You must become different than you have ever been before. I said, how do I do that? He said, oh, you can't. I said, what the hell you tell me for? He said, that's what's going to happen to you. He said, now I'm going to give you the kicker. This is the very one thing that got you here. But it's also the very one thing that, if it does not change, will be the very one thing that's going to keep you from getting all the things that God has for His children. As long as you know that you know, you'll never know. But when you begin to do what we tell you not to do and to do, and begin to know you don't know, then you'll begin to know. I said, hell, you're crazy. He said, I know. Now, since you don't know how to not do anything, the first thing we're going to learn how to do is not drink. You know that card that I gave you? That's my number. Four other men, no women on mine. When you get squirrely, definitely before you take a drink or a pill, you call that number, no matter what time of day or night that is. Now, if you don't do it, you didn't do it. Even if you didn't drink, you didn't do it. Make the phone call. That's the way we're going to learn how to not do something. This is what we're going to do every day. When you get up in the morning, I want you to get out on your knees first thing and say these words and these words only. God, take me today and let Thy will only be done in my life. Help me to be exactly what You want me to be on this day, and help me to death not take a drink of anything alcoholic or a mind-changing drug. Amen. Do not need to tell God what He has not done, nor what He needs to do. God can handle that all by Himself. And then call me before you go to the bathroom. I said, why before I go to the bathroom? You may not need to go. I said, you mean tell me you don't think I've got sense enough to know when I need to go to the bathroom? And we'll find out. They don't give you a lot of credit here, you know. Got out on my knees, and I said that before I got out on my knees, I said, God, You and I know He don't know. Hell, He's a Presbyterian. But we're going to do everything just exactly like he says, so when we get enough of that thing this time, we're going to tell him to take this deal and shove it. Got down on my knees, and I said, that prayer, made sure I need to go to the bathroom. Picked up the phone, didn't even ask where I need to go. And I said, go to the bathroom, meet me at the club. I met at the club, and he said, go to work. I said, I hate my job. He said, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, I hated it so much yesterday, I couldn't get out of the house. I had to sit in the chair. And he said, how long? Till noon. I said, yeah. Then I went to the club. He said, you don't know how to go to work. I said, how? He said, go get in the car. If you'll write that down, you'll catch it. And then he said, later on, you're probably going to do this several times a day, but just to begin with, besides that prayer that morning, when you get in the car every morning, you invite God in today. I said, how do you do that? He says, you say, God, I invite you in today. Oh, Put that on the same card. If you don't lose the card, we can go home. And then I had to go to work and then come back and meet him at the club. And you walk in there and you said, sit down with us, get your coffee. I know to get the damn coffee. They got to say it out loud so everybody knows you don't know nothing. Don't say anything. Listen to us. The kings are talking. When you're almost comfortable, he said, now go home and eat supper and come back. I know to go home and eat supper and come back to the meeting. But they've got to tell you out loud because you haven't got sense enough to go to the car. Then you come back, and after the meeting, he said, now go home and thank God for the day. I said, I did not thank God for the day. It's been a miserable damn day. And I hate you, and I hate AA, and I hate God, and I hate her, and I hate my job, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. He said, do you feel like when you pray to God that you don't meet it and you're not sincere? I said, that's right. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite like I know hypocrites. He says, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's only the action you're taking you don't know you're taking. It's going to cause the things to happen. It's going to happen that you think needs to happen will never need to happen. Because once you take this action you don't know you're taking, the things that are going to happen, the things that you've been worrying about and wanting to happen will probably never need to happen. Well, certainly understood that. I said, do you mean to tell me God does not care, you don't care, and the group doesn't care when I pray to God whether I mean or not? He said, not at all. He said, your relationship with God depends solely on your action and what God does. I said, I can't believe it. Nobody cares what I say. He said, well, believe it. So I just got in my car and went home, locked the door so what's his name couldn't get in there. Got down on my knees and said, okay, by God, God, thank you for a miserable damn day. Amen. Hell, if he don't care and they don't care and God don't care, hell, I don't care. Did that for about 2 months. Didn't do anything any different this day than any other day. I hit that old 610 loop down there about 9:15 one morning, right below, above Memorial Drive. And for the first time in my life, knowingly, this God moved in that car with me as my friend. And for the first time in my life, I knew something different than I'd ever known him before. I knew I would never need to take another drink of anything alcoholic or a mind-changing drug as long as I lived, unless I myself insisted upon it. And I knew. God, I couldn't wait. He stayed with me all that day, and about 3 o'clock that afternoon, I thought, man, I'm going to get me a tent and some tambourines. I was going to skip school. Got to the club 15 minutes early. He's 20 minutes late, and he walked through that door and said, get your coffee and finish. This is taking over. I was even thinking I might let him go and help with the tent. Now, they don't like it coming back. But he took it and he got his coffee and sat down. And I told him. And he grinned a little and said, thank God we've got that over with. Now we can get started. Said, my God, that took a year. He said some are sicker than others. I said, what are you going to do about old what's-her-name? He said, man, I'm leaving my marriage just like it is. I'm leaving it just like it is. I said, I'm going to send you to a guy, and he's already got his work down. I'm going to send you to him. Sent me to an Episcopalian. You know they don't know. They just got tired of being Catholic. He said, what do you want to do? I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. They've had me on. You know that I have not been sleeping with my wife, and I've been praying for someone too, and they won't. And I said, they have not let me go with anybody. When I'd see that one that was just for me, I don't know why God assigned me to have compassion for the new girl. What the book says, he assigns us for different things. And they never would let me get in the car with her by myself. They'd always make sure she sat at our table and ice cream by me. And she would say, you know, I just don't feel comfortable talking to another woman, but I feel comfortable talking to you. And I'd say, I'll have you, baby. I understand you don't have that problem out here. We're still having a little of that in Fort Worth. This guy said, what do you want? I said, I'm going to tell you something about this program. It's not working. He said, what do you mean it's not working? I said, well, it's just not working. He said, how long have you been in? I said, well, almost 21 months. He said, I've done my four-step and fifth step and nothing is working. He said, how long has it been since you had a drug? Great. I said, 21 months. Well, that's a shame. It's not working. He said, what do you want? I said, I want to find out what I can do to live here. I can't live like I'm living. He said, do you remember when you came to Alcoholics Anonymous and how that period was when you didn't fit in here and you didn't fit back out there and it was lonesome? I said, yeah. He said, if you're willing to go through every area of your life and go through that lonesome period when it feels like it's just you going through it, I'll not only guarantee your relationship with women, I'll guarantee your relationship with your fellow man that you could not have believed. And I'll give you a bonus on top of that. I'll guarantee your relationship with Almighty God that you could never have imagined. I said, I don't believe that. He said, isn't that fantastic? I said, what do you mean? You don't need to. It's only the action you got. I said, I've already heard about that. He said, are you still married? I said, not really. But we're living in a two-polar place and we meet in the middle. He said, well, you don't know how to live with people or with a person, so you've got to learn how. So we'll practice on her. You're never going to tell her what's wrong with her ever again. I said, who's going to tell her? He said, I don't know, but you're not. And you're never going to do anything to work friends, Al-Anon, children, or anything around to get her to do what you want her to do. I said, never. He said, never. He said, and you're going to pray for her. And I said, I'm not. You pray for her. He said, yes, you are, and you may have to say this many, many times today. God, thy will be done for her as well as for me. Take our relationship, let it become what you want it to be, and show me the truth. I said, I do not want God's will to be done for her as well as for me. He said, remember, what you want has nothing to do with it. So I started doing that, and it wasn't too long after that that old sex, love, lust thing it had in me surfaced, and she was out of town. I couldn't get rid of it, and I told him every day, and God would not remove it. So I told the group. The girl said, you're not supposed to tell that to the group. So I went over and told another group. And this other group told on me. You know, we don't gossip here, we're just concerned. And I told him, I said, she needs to go to Al-Anon. He said, my wife will take care of that. Al-Anon's, I want you to know that I love you dearly. And if there's ever anything you need, day or night, that I can help you with, you call me. They sent her to you, and she found you depressing. And she went four or five more times, and she found you more depressing. whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So that guy says, you know, usually when you stop doing something, God transforms your mind and removes that from you. But that's not happening to you. Oh, what's her name's out of town? You go home and get in that apartment and don't you come out of there till that thing's removed. Don't you call me, call it. Don't you tell another soul or talk to them. See, they're nuts here. They tell you to call them every morning. Now they tell you don't call them. And don't you come out of there. You and God get that thing settled. I went there and prayed and cried and went through it about 11, 12 o'clock that night. I went to sleep and the next day I wasn't there. God, for the first time in my life, that thing was gone. And I, this is smart, I wouldn't even tell it. So after the fourth meeting, I thought, I walked up to her. I said, well, I guess I might as well tell you this all we knew at the first night. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, because you need to know that you're going to always be the last to know. I said, why is that? He said, we don't know. God, I'd have hated to miss it. Can you believe we found it and weren't looking for it? God, isn't that something else? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We thought we were out there trying to live, have children, get married, get educated, and get independent, get self-sufficient, and there wasn't a chance. Because we happen to be God's chosen children. God, I'm glad I stayed here long enough to find that out. God, I hate to miss that. Would that have been terrible? Gone through all that stuff to get properly prepared to do the toughest God program available to human beings today. The program designed by Almighty God Himself. The mystery operation. The one that operates like nobody knows how he operates, or when he's operating, or the ways of this. Isn't that amazing? And you and I are there. Isn't that something? Hell, I damn near missed it. What's wrong, and I can see it, I hope the other folks come out okay. I don't know anything about them. I just know about people like you and I. I know some things about you and I today that... Even the Catholic touched on it last night. Can you believe that only thing through what you are right now up through this minute was never to be any different than it is right this second? You and I did exactly what Almighty God designed for you and I. Isn't that something? And half the time you thought you was doing wrong. You was doing exactly what you're supposed to do up through this second. You're not late and you're not early. You're right on time. Isn't that something else? That Almighty God, you and I did everything we could to do it the worldly way. We did everything we could to destroy ourselves and you failed. Because you were supposed to. God says, unless you become as a little child, you're never going to know me. And we never changed. We stayed a little child all the way through. We didn't take a chance on getting to be an adult. I don't know about other people, but if you'll think the depths that we got into, the fears and the hurt, was absolutely necessary to get the depths and the things that are of God Himself. And that's where we are today. These pastors are going to be crazy, you and I take. The world's going to think we're doing wrong half the time. You're going to think you're doing wrong half the time. The other half, you think God's not doing like He's supposed to. But He's doing exactly like He's supposed to. See, I know one thing today. You and I were chosen by Him to be His special, special children. And you and I were sent to be together. You didn't get here on your own. You didn't know where you were going. Can you imagine I had to get up, run up there and get drunk and have a car wreck Tuesday, or I'd be late? Certainly I had to do that. It was absolutely necessary for me and for you to do exactly, to get prepared to be into a program that God's going to take me, and redo you, and run us through that rock crushing. And baby, if you and I hadn't been properly prepared, we'd never take a chance going through that rock crusher. Because there's no way to know what's on that other side. When I get on the other side, I'm glad I went through it, but never while I'm going through it. But that's our place. And we had to be prepared by God Himself to get here. Nobody could do that for us. Nobody knew where we were going. And since I didn't know where I was going, it's none of my business where I'm going after I get here. And that's what he's trying to tell me. And he got me in a place where he could let me know that he's my teacher and he's your teacher. And there is no other teacher for you and I. Which is reason we didn't believe anybody. Nobody could tell us anything. You know what? Weren't supposed to. Because we were waiting for the one who has all the answers. And the only one that has the answers. Only one that has the solution. And the only one that has the wisdom. Almighty God Himself. And His children must get it from Him and no one else. I'm glad I stayed with you long enough. Because now I know that God had you and I in the palm of His hand. From the very beginning, probably even before, he knew exactly what our path was and knows exactly where we're going. And you and I have been in the palm of his hand all the time. And the one thing that we did not know that God's children have to know, or they can't make it, and they keep trying to fill that spot, you and I did not know God loved us. And we didn't know it. Thank God I stayed with you long enough to know that. And thank God I know why you and I couldn't fit in the world. Because God's children are supposed to meet together and live in His kingdom. And let Him send us out in the world to do whatever it is He designs. And 90% of the time we're not going to know what that is. But He brought us from every walk of life. And He's sending us out into every walk of life to be used for His glory and to fulfill His purpose in us. And during that time, we get to be changed and we get to get some sweet stuff like He gives His children. You see, we now have that one power that only God's children have. No other peoples in the world but God's children have it. I don't know where the other children are, but I know about these children because I'm one of them. And God's let me know that. That I'm His and that you're His. And that as long as I meet with you, that power is going to stay alive in me. And where I'm going and you're going is absolutely unlimited. The more I go through the rock crusher and the more I come surrendered to Him, the more He's going to be able to operate through me. And the less of me will be operating. And I can live more in that sweet stuff. Thank God I stayed with you long enough to feel that power. And to realize that you and I are living in it. And it never fails. When you and I call one another. When you and I meet together and we invite Him in. And when you and I invite God into that day. He never fails us. Just like it's been right here this weekend. When you can feel and know that power. That only God's children have. Thank God I stay with you long enough to feel that power in me. Him loving me and me loving Him back. But the difference was you. You're the difference. You're the one that made the difference in my life. My life, I could have gone to 10 different denominations and 1,000 different churches. But my life was never to be any different until God sent me to be with you. And you to be with me. And He sent us to be together and had it designed. Just like it is right now. We can feel that power that never fails. And I can feel you loving me and me loving you. Thank you very much.